I want to see Max metaphorically slap McLaren and take their trophy. It's the equivalent in football of next goal the winner. When you're 10-0 ahead.
Yes.
I was already looking forward to it, but now I'm buzzing.
I'm fizzing a little bit. Got a little fizz going on.
Hello there, and welcome back to the Zero Credentials F1 podcast. We're here today to talk about the Singapore Grand Prix of 2025. Plenty to talk about, Nelly, so let's go. Yeah, it's a week off, hasn't it? Been a week off.
Yeah.
I miss it. Do you?
Yeah, I do. I do. I have to say so. But to be fair, I probably needed that week off because quite foolishly, we invited some negative comments and to nourish us. So I've been having a bit of a cry, I'll be honest. Yeah, also, we're living in some people's head rent-free, so that's always a bonus as well.
It is, it's nice. I think, yeah, to be fair, there's been a balance.
Yeah, there's been some good stuff. And
really nice comments as well.
Thanks to everyone who takes the time, it is appreciated.
Yeah, I'd love it if you subscribed, though, if you've been watching. If you've watched a few times, you owe us a subscription, I think.
Yeah, it's the do the right thing. Why wouldn't you do it?
Either subscribe or leave a really harsh comment. Either one of those nourishes us, doesn't it?
Yeah. But you have to press a certain button on the screen. It's not the hardest thing to do.
Which button is it? Tell me which one.
Is it it's not the bell. That's a reminder one. Is it the big thumb? Do the big thumb. That's a good one. It's the what's the symbol for subscribe? I don't know
if there is one. Anyway, should we talk about some F1?
Let's do it.
Like I said, I've missed it.
I've missed you.
It's hot. Yeah, I know. It's brotherly love, isn't it? But the season is warming up, I think. And I'm still excited by the fact that there's been a bit of a resurgence from Max Verstappen.
Yeah.
A little spanner in the works between the McLaren sort of dominance that we've seen. And I don't think it's going to be any different this week.
No. I try to keep down in my maximize estimations. I always try and keep him in the top five because I try not to be so foolish. But yeah, he's been absolutely incredible the past couple of races. And let's see we've had two low downforce tracks. Let's see if he can maintain anything which is much more of a high downforce track with it being a street circuit. But you can't write him off. On his day, in any machine, he can beat anyone.
It's very true. I get the suspicion that they're onto something with him, Red Bull, at the moment. Yeah. I feel we'll see our predictions in a little while. But on one of the nice comments we got this week was when we were basically running out of superlatives for Max on the last video, and then someone commented saying something along the lines of, "To add to that, did you see this weekend just gone? He's then gone and won the GT3 race at the Nürburgring, just in his spare time.
Just for shits and giggles, just for kicks. What are you doing this weekend, Max? I'm just going to absolutely dominate a sport completely different from my own, but I'm a great driver and I'll probably be a great driver in this as well. But this is just how the guy winds down by embarrassing everyone else.
Because he'd had to jump through a few hoops, hadn't he, to get his license to be able to race at Nürburgring. But did you see that he qualified in third for the race and then by turn one, he was in the lead?
He'd had it done in turn one.
And then he drove a minute down the road.
Can you imagine the guys who spend their entire career doing this? Like, this is all they do. Well, and seeing him just run off.
Apparently, the guy that was in second, he's like about 50 years old or something. And he's been racing around the Nürburgring literally all his life. To be fair to him, though, they interviewed him afterwards and they said, "What do you think about Max?" And he's like, "Well, like, I'm not surprised. He's the best driver in the world."
Yeah.
But he drove a minute down the road on his stint, and then his stint was finished, so he swapped over to his teammate who was good enough
to hold on to Max's lead.
to finish 25 seconds ahead. So won his very first GT3 race.
Well, it says everything about the guy, and Yeah, I'm delighted that he can go off and do those things, because contractually that wouldn't have been easy for him. I know he had to get his license and stuff, but he probably had to indemnify Red Bull against if he got hurt or injured or damaged, or, and that would have been tens of millions of pounds to say, well, I can't race for you for the rest of this season or next season, or I'm spending the rest of most of my adult life in a wheelchair. I'm pretty sure they would have wanted some compensation for that. So.
But he's got total fuck you money now, hasn't
he? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
But what also made me chuckle is that, do you think it's a coincidence that he's just started doing that the second Christian Horner's gone?
Well, yeah.
When you're talking about contractual obligations and stuff.
Yeah. Because he's in control of the team, he might as well be the team principal, the way it's going at the moment.
Yeah. Do you think there's been a deal done already, which has led to him not going to Mercedes?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Max, you can do whatever you want, whenever you want, for how much ever you want, as long as you still continue to drive for our car. And you know what? Fair play to him. But, I mean, yeah, I was crying tears for Christian Horner just getting an £80 million settlement.
It would have been
over £100 million settlement, but... He asked them to waive a few clauses about him getting back into the F1 paddock.
So he
dropped tens of millions of pounds for an opportunity, potentially, to drop the non-compete clause, essentially.
I mean, one thing that I heard when he left was that there's high demand for him.
Yeah.
Whether that's within the FIA or another team.
It's not a question he can make a team tick. The art at that level is to pull the right people together, and he absolutely did that for a very long period of time. So there's clearly a market for Christian Horner.
But having said all that, I've caught a sneak peek of your predictions this week, and you've written him off again.
Well, Matt, I think third.
No spoilers, but he's not.
But he's in there. He's absolutely in there. I think it's because we'll come on to it, but I need Lando to do the pole and the race win. So I won't spoil anything, but Lando's my pole and race win. But because I've failed on that for so many weeks.
Definitely no spoilers.
Because I've hung my hat on that for the past few weeks, I need it to pay off now, because this will be the week that it changed. It's like the lottery numbers, isn't it? You got to stick with it to a certain point, and I don't change it now. I'm nervous.
All you need to do if you want Lando to win is change it. That's it. And he'll definitely win.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts on the Singapore Grand Prix then? Is it one you enjoy? I mentioned last week that it's not my favourite.
It's not a massive favourite. I enjoy it insofar as it's a test for the athleticism of the races. It's the heat and humidity absolutely destroys F1 drivers, and I'm not crying into my beer for them, because they're still paid handsomely to do that. But I mean, we've had some take it
better than others, don't they?
Yeah, we've had some rookies saying, "I don't feel very well. Can I please come in? Can I retire the car, please?" And that's completely unacceptable. But they do it, and it's just. It's super hot, super uncomfortable. They all have to have ice baths afterwards, and pretty close to, massive dehydration and heat stroke. So it's entertaining there, because, I mean, the thought of somebody going down the road at 200 miles an hour at the verge of passing out does add some jeopardy, and that's what we're all about.
Gorgeous George always struggles, doesn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it was a couple of years ago than now that he struggled right up until... like the second or third last lap, and binned it into the wall, didn't he?
Well, is this the one where he got sweat on his beautiful eyelashes and couldn't see anymore?
When he thought it was raining.
Get me pissing down in here. What are we doing?
It started to rain. Yeah. No, George, it's on the inside of your visor.
But historically as well, it did provide entertainment, because they've taken it out now, which I think is a bit of a bummer. But turn 10, the Singapore Sling... those massive curbs that used to launch cars into the air and subsequently into the wall. I don't think they should soften anything like that. If there's a price to be paid for a mistake, then learn to drive better.
That was one of the... wasn't there a women's race or something, wasn't there, where a car went flying over the barrier into the...
Is that what finished it?
Yeah, possibly. I can't remember. Yeah, I mean, I was looking back at last year's race. That's the depths we go to prepare for these, yeah.
Videos. We look back at the nearest available information.
And base absolutely everything off that.
Yeah. After one cursory Google search, we found all the answers.
We read some headlines. We watched last year's race. And
we just inferred the rest.
That's what people are tuning in for. That level of commitment and dedication to this sport.
Yeah, big time.
I think, like I said, some drivers do take it better than others. Lando seems to take it pretty well, as does Max.
Yeah.
Lando, I think it was last year when Lando won, he said, oh yeah, I could go again. Although I think that was a bit of bravado, because there was a couple of times when he nearly binned into the wall, wasn't there?
Yeah, he took an end plate off or nudged his front wing, didn't he?
Which is unnecessary when you're 20 seconds ahead. But Lando did win last year. Which
he's probably getting a bit bored. That sort of lead, I mean, you just go, yeah, you're thinking, what's for tea?
I mean, we talked about that earlier in the season, though, didn't we? Because you forget that it's not easy leading at the front like that.
Mm-hmm.
All the great champions have done it, and it isn't as easy as it looks, I don't think.
No, you don't have a read. That's always been the impressive thing about going off at the front, particularly in a wet race. You are everybody's benchmark for stopping. You are everybody's benchmark for the grip on the track, and you're testing everything out. If you try and experiment, go half a second quicker, you're the one who can lose it first.
There should be a rule, right, where if you get more than 15 seconds ahead, your radio is instantly turned off. You've got absolutely no idea how close people are behind you. So you can't manage your battery too much. You can't manage your tires too much. You've just got to either keep going for it, or slow down and wait until you can see him again.
Yeah, and your pit wall board is removed as well. You can't do anything at all. Yeah. You got to slow down until you get them in your mirrors.
They can have an emergency button.
Yeah. But help. Hey, Az.
Yeah.
That would be a great idea. I think it would, because it takes that. That ship to shore advantage of the radio communications, and
it's the equivalent. It's the equivalent in football of next goal the winner when you're 10 when you're 10-0 ahead.
Yes. Yeah. You have to do one of those. Have you seen these in other sports now? They've got long lap penalties to do it in MotoGP, where you get a penalty for going a little bit. You have to go further, a slightly different route. It may be a longer hairpin than another. It's just like some of the verges of the track, but they do that as well. But it's a good way to keep momentum in the race, but still it's quite punishing. But yeah, anything to mix it up, I'd be quite happy to see something like that, because they can manage when they've got a gap like that. And if they didn't know, as you say, if they were completely blind to what's going on the pit wall, they wouldn't manage it necessarily in the way that they currently do.
Like, I'm a bit of a purist, to be honest, with the sporting aspect of it all. However, the years when Sebastian Vettel's been dominating, or Michael Schumacher was dominating, or even Lewis Hamilton, to be honest, I've lost interest at certain points over my F1 fan career.
Yeah.
And it was usually when someone was dominating season after season. So I think, whilst I'm a purist, really, I think some way of evening out that dominance is a good thing. Although I think that's what the cost cap has done, hasn't it, a little bit?
Yeah, it's certainly tried to, but British Touring Cars, do they still do the weight penalties? So if you qualify particularly well, you have to literally carry some ballast in your car to try and level things out.
I'm not sure I like that, because I think part of F1's appeal is the machinery.
Yeah.
The team competition as well. Oh, did you see, though, the big news of this week?
Go on.
Was that Lewis Hamilton's dog died.
Oh. Oh, did yeah.
I think it was Roscoe.
Yeah. I heard a debate on the radio where some right-wing gamins were trying to be outraged at the fact that he had a... Roscoe had a vegan diet for for a dog. And they were trying to figure out whether that was cruelty to animals to give him a vegan diet. Look at the big fat chops on him. He was doing all right. I don't think he'd give a shit what he was eating. He was picking up anything on the street. But yeah.
That's funny.
But yeah, I saw that. And
I saw his... do you know what? I'm a massive Lewis Hamilton fan. But I saw his post and I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Like, I struggle when people get all whiny because their pet has died.
Yeah.
I find that...
But the bit that... And I don't want to dwell on this, but the bit that did actually get me, and I thought that's verging on cruelty, was the poor bastard was on life support for 4 days, literally with the tubes and shit hanging out of him, like with a absolutely do resuscitate. And you just think that's cruelty by then. They're gone. You know when your animal's gone and you don't do it. I have some family members I wouldn't give,
no, but that's
give
what they,
life support
that's what they do. When you've got fuck you money, that's what you can do.
Yeah, that's true.
No one else can afford to do that. Yeah. Like you're just putting your pet down at the first sign of trouble, aren't you, usually? So.
I reckon he hasn't put him down. He's just got him cryogened. He's which is where Lewis is going to go. I'll meet you in 50 years time when science catches up. I'll see you again, pup.
I was half thinking we might somewhere from him or from Team LH see hashtag racing for Roscoe this weekend.
Oh, maybe.
He's going to bring it. Actually, we should have put Lewis first in our predictions, shouldn't we? Because he's going to be bringing it home for Roscoe.
I mean, I am a massive Lewis fanboy, but his off the track antics are alien to me. He dresses like a lunatic. I mean, I'm not a fashionista by any manner of means. It's literally like diving into the lost luggage compartment of an airport to see what random shite you can come up with.
But you want to be
that's high fashion.
Be careful though, because if this podcast takes off, you become a big deal. Actually, bigger than you are now. You are a big deal. Then who knows what's going to happen with your clothing?
See,
you're going to be rocking like orange polka dot joggers.
Well,
some sort of mullet.
Well, I don't mind having egg on my face when I'm wearing an outfit that has egg on my face. But because I'll have fuck you money supposedly at that time. Yeah. So what? If I end up dressing like a prick, I'll happily do it if the circumstances dictate that.
And someone will show a clip of this, and while shouting at the clip saying, boys don't wear princess dresses.
That's quite right. Now, I respected that part of it, but yeah.
Shall we talk a bit more about Formula One?
Let's do that.
Let's have a look at the current state of our prediction competition. Oh. Because it's looking pretty ugly. You and I have not scored points for the last 3 weeks, whilst we've seen Whites go through. Through goes Whites into P1, and he's stayed there. That guy knows how to lead from the front.
I mean, that's a meaty leader. I mean, I'll be struggling to still be on the board by the end of the season at this stage, the way I used to are going.
The thing is, you need a big weekend.
I do.
You need a big weekend. Let's have a look at... I'll go with mine first.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm going for... Actually, I need to bring it up because I've got a terrible memory, but I know I went for Lando on pole because last year was impressive. I still think he's fast. I still think he's got pace. And I think he's going to pop it on pole this week. He kind of needs to. I think he needs a little bit of a resurgence. Then I've gone for Max Verstappen. I think Max will qualify in second. I think he'll be in the lead by turn one.
Yeah.
That is my prediction.
How does he get it back then? How does Lando get it back? Undercut, no, overcut? Oh.
He doesn't. I've got Max for the win.
Oh.
So, yeah, Lando pole, Max for the win, and then Lando second. And after my sort of ringing endorsement for George Russell last week and saying how impressive he was, I'm putting him in third. I think he's pretty good round here despite his inability to deal with any kind of heat. I think he's still going to do it. I think we're going to see something from George this week. I feel it in my bones. Then I've got Oscar just doing... Still suffering a little bit, actually, I think, from last time out in Azerbaijan. I don't think he's totally got over that yet. Although I did see an amazing stat with Oscar. Is that...
Go on.
He's now something like second or third of all-time points scored in a row.
Wow. Wow.
Maybe that's, I think he's really second. He was on... I think he's got up to, he scored in the last 44 races or something wow. like that.
Something like that. I can't...
The only person that's now ahead of him is Lewis Hamilton on 48. So it just sort of shows the enormity of...
That's great. That's an incredible stat, that.
Yeah. Don't quote me on it, but it's something along...
You bullshitting me.
No, I'm not. And then Charles in fourth. I wanted to put Lewis in fourth, but I thought I would go with my head rather than my heart. Lewis is not bad around here as well, though. So,
That's a decent pick. That I would not dismiss any of that. As you say, the Lando needs something good, and he needs it. The way you said it keeps the championship alive quite nicely.
I think that does. Yeah. I'll go with White's next. I'll read out what he said. He says, "I want to see Max."
I love this message. I'm going to read it verbatim.
I want to see Max metaphorically dick slap McLaren and take their trophy. The big question is, will Red Bull work as well this weekend with a high downforce setup? Good point. Yeah. I hope so, but fear not. So he's going to go with Lando on pole and then Lando for the win. He's obviously back in the McLaren boys, so Oscar's second, then Max, then Charles, then George. I can't see a Ferrari finishing in front of George. I honestly can't. That's all I'd say about that.
And I would agree with that, but it's odd for me that given Max's recent resurgence that he is a Max fanboy, that he hasn't put him a little higher. But
I think it's his
19 points.
Yeah, exactly. It's his point about the downforce as well, isn't it?
That's exactly true. And I think he should go a step further and withdraw the word metaphorically and have Max actually dick slap both Lando and Oscar, ideally on the podium.
I mean, Danny Ricciardo dick slapped him a couple of times, didn't he? Like in real life.
That
brings us on to your good self. What have you got for me? What have you got?
I've rolled the dice and gone with exactly what I've gone in before in recent weeks, but I've gone with Lando pole and Lando win, obviously. Oscar.
I was thinking, though, it's when you and White's did that, and I've done that on several occasions now, had pole and the winner the same. That hasn't happened that many times.
No. Because Max keeps taking it into turn one.
Yeah. Max has done as well. So anyway, go on. Sorry.
But I need Lando to pay out, and this is purely down to fear that if I didn't do it, this would be the week you would do it. So I'm sorry, Lando. I probably robbed you of another victory this week by putting you in my prediction. Then Oscar again, because he's just going to be hot on Lando's heels as best as he possibly can. And that's the only reason as well that I'm putting Max third, because he's by far, if not the best at the moment, the best of the rest by a long shot. So he's coming in third for me, only because I want to see the McLaren fight keep going. And then George, because just wow, what he's doing with not front of the grid equipment is super consistent and super impressive. And then following with Charles, because I think he's just got the edge on Lewis this year. I mean, it was the Mercedes and the Ferraris did sort of float around one another last year after the top three. So, you know, the cars are comfortable on the circuit, but I think the Ferrari remains too temperamental.
So, unfortunately for you, your chances of catching up to White's this week are minimal. You're identical apart from George and Charles. So you're either going to catch him up by 1 point or lose another point.
Exactly. This is his tactic now, though. He's sitting on his lead. He's parking the bus. He's parking the bus because all he has to do is ensure that we don't catch up. And by doing that, if he just needs to replicate me, that's why I put mine in the chat last, because I can't have him replicating me. And what did he go and do? Pretty much predict all of the ones I was going to. Yeah. He doesn't need to win. He just needs to be the predictions. He just needs to be better than me. And what's a way to be better than me? He's just replicating me. And if we both get no points, the only risk is that you come up.
This is why you need to have your radio silence when you're 15 seconds ahead, isn't it? For that reason.
This is true.
Take his advantage away. Oh, you don't want to be manipulating stuff too much, do you? Just let the let the free market of racing take
I wish hold. I could. I wish I could, but it's like I'm at the bookies, I'm at the arcades, and I'm too deep now. I need to go chasing the win. It's a gambler's nightmare.
Let me bring the scores up again. We need some sort of artificial transfer of points, don't we? We need some sort of socialist rule to bring back.
I think you said it. Addy at the we'll count points until the last race of the season, and then it's winner takes all. It's next goal the winner.
That's funny.
That'd be good.
But it'd be nice to score a point again.
Yeah.
It's another fun fact I heard today or read today about Singapore is that it's a pretty long race, purely because it takes them so long to get around. It's not the actual race distance takes them a long time.
It's
so twisty and turny and a sort of street course. I think they did about 10 minutes quicker than ever before last year, but it's generally about an hour and 50 minutes compared to Monza, which is not, you don't get much change after an hour.
Yeah, because they try and get 200 miles in, don't they, as an average. That's something how they like try that, and average it out. But yes, I mean, they've probably pushed it as far as the day before people start passing out. But the fact that it's a night race as well, I think this is one of the first ones, and I don't mind a night race, actually. I really don't mind it. I remember getting very excited early days in a night race when you could see the glow of the brakes in the first time, because obviously the daylight distorts that.
It's usually pretty good for us in Europe as well, isn't it? Because we just get it at normal time. We just get like 2 o'clock in the afternoon sort of thing.
Yeah. And there's a bit of a but. Listen.
Whereas Las Vegas is a bit of a buzzkill if you're living in Europe. Because you've got to kind of, it's on a Saturday. Is it Saturday? Yeah,
you got it was Saturday night, wasn't it?
I recall getting up at about 4 o'clock or something to watch it.
It was a stupid time of day. I think all things should be made for the exclusive convenience of Europeans. but then I absolutely would. But yeah, it is a little bit exciting and thrilling when you have the night racing and the seeing the sparks.
Yeah,
coming from the under trays, it's nice.
We're getting to the thick end of the season as well, aren't we? And it's still all to play for.
It's business time, isn't it? I mean, that's the thing with Max, I suppose. Well, he can have a major influence in terms of dictating or starting to spoil some of McLaren's season. Because if he gets between some of them, it makes their life extremely hard to do that. But also, it's not impossible with the type of pace he's shown at the minute that, you know, he could really push towards at least second, maybe. Mm. He a couple of DNFs, and he's going to make them think that there's a third horse in this race.
I'm pretty sure he's not given up on winning it yet.
No, he's not built that way.
McLaren can seal the deal this week. They missed out on that in Azerbaijan last time round.
Yeah.
They can seal the deal. I think they need 13 or 14 points, and then they've won it. So that's probably will happen this weekend, so we've got that to look forward to. McLaren are undoubtedly my favourite team, always have been. I like to see Williams up there as well. Actually, mentioning Williams, have you got any wild cards this week, this weekend?
I'll give you one of mine first.
I think Alonso's going to do something.
All right, okay.
I think that Aston Martin is still decent in the...
There's some potential in
the high downforce tracks. It seems to be doing better.
Yeah, there's some potential in that car.
Yeah,
my sort of best of the rest. I want to see Yuki do something in the Red Bull. I want to see him get close to that top five, or at least be in the pack, trying to do something.
Just because that's just because you're a human being, mate.
Yeah,
and this he's had a torrid time.
What a shit time that lad's had. He has, because he was actually one of the ones that, like, you can't not like Yuki in the other stuff, even when he's having a little tantrum. He's
small and non-threatening.
Yeah,
like a pet.
Pigeon English accent that he's got. It's just like, oh, you just want to like rub his cheeks as well, yeah. And go, oh, Yuki, little guy. Yeah, imagine him absolutely kicking off. You just shrug.
I enjoyed him on Drive to Survive as well. I think he's a good character, and if this was his last season, I think that'd be a crying shame.
I think he's
deserved more and done better than that. And it's just kind of, yeah, I'm with you on that one. Let's all cheer for Yuki.
Let's do that.
I haven't got much more than that.
No.
This is what these videos are about, is getting a buzz going for the race. We are your race weekend companions, so subscribe to the channel. I'm now buzzing for the race. I was already looking forward to it, but now I'm buzzing.
I'm fizzing a little bit. Got a little fizz going on.
Fizzing and buzzing. We'll be here for you.
Keep talking to us. Keep liking and subscribing and commenting. Do more of that.
And then we'll be back with our race review, hopefully a little bit earlier than last week. People were gagging for our race review.
I was.
We kept them waiting probably a little bit too long. We'll do it. Hopefully,
it's cruel. Yeah.
Anyway, we'll see you again very, very soon.
Thank you, beautiful people. Goodbye.
Goodbye.